No, what I thought I would do, I'd like to relate again a true account from my ministry of a lady, and you do know the account, but I'm not apologizing for that, because I want to use it. I'm going to go through that story first of all, and the psalm that she quoted, and then I'm going to enlarge on it as best I can. Now, the key verse here, obviously, for all of us is, "Be still and know that I am God." That's verse 10. It's a very lovely verse. "Be still and know that I am God." This is many years ago now, I suppose. Time goes very quickly. And there was a lovely lady who lived in New Zealand Road near the chapel. And she was there every Sunday. Her walking was very bad. She couldn't manage very well. So she didn't come out. She would come to meetings in the afternoon or morning in the weekday, but not, I don't think, in the prayer meeting. I don't think so. And I think she was a bit nervous of going back on her own. However, she was a nice lady. But she was in hospital, and I went to see her, and she said, "God has been very good to me, drew very near to me." And she said, "It's that verse, be still and know that I am God." I was just thinking about the value of being still, and it's caused me to be still, and I found it a great help. And so I prayed with her and left her. The next day or the day after, I'm not sure, be still and know what we know, what we appreciate about God. And the third day, that I am God. And she talked about the wonder of that. And then she had treatment, an operation. And she said, I saw her about 4 or 5 days later, I'm ashamed of myself. Why is that? Well, you see, I want to go home. And I woke up after the operation in the room where there were all these people in white, and I thought I was in heaven, and I was praising God. And I said, "Oh, I'm awfully sorry. I don't wish to show lack of appreciation to you here, but I did think you were heavenly figures. And you're not, but thank you very much all the same." But she did have a wish. The next day, she did go to where she wanted to go. Now then, that's a nice account, and it's a true one. I want you to think about it. Be still. Now, we're in an age of rushing around, aren't we? With all of us, we're rushing around, rushing here, rushing there. And the big word of today is stress. I don't know if they had stress in the last century. I'm sure they did, and the century before, but we're making a big fuss of it today. And I suppose the speed of things, the change in how we live, and the things around us, the instruments that we use, and I think in my lifetime, there's been such a rapid change. I can remember the first wireless, we called it, coming to the street, and everybody was crowding in to hear it. And I said, "Did you hear it? I heard something. I'm not sure what I heard." And it was so exciting. And, slowly things were getting more and more that way. Then there's been, in the last 20 or 30 years, a rapid succession of things. Even just think of a mobile phone, I didn't know even what, if you'd asked me when I was a boy, I wouldn't have known what a mobile phone was, I would have no idea at all. But you see now, we can't live without a mobile phone. It's in our pockets and we're texting away. Well, I can't text, so nobody ever texts me because they won't get an answer. But all these changes, and I think maybe lacking in the age we're living in, is we've forgotten how to meditate. We've forgotten how to be still. We're rushing around. And we are anxious and we are fearful. And everything has to be done to a deadline. Just to take one example now of lorry drivers. They used to be known as the gentlemen of the road. You wouldn't believe it, would you? And they truly were. Now they have to work to a contract a certain time. And now they're the bullies, aren't they? Really, you can almost be pushed along with a lorry behind you. So the age has changed, but we should still endeavour. Our Lord Jesus Christ went apart to be still and to be with his Father, to be still. Now then, I'm not talking about mysticism at all. I'm talking about being still with God, thinking about him, not just vague thoughts, but definite thoughts based on scripture, and staying there. Think of his sovereignty. Think of his goodness, the hymn that we sang now. Take a line like this. My every need he richly will supply. Supposing you're having a tough time financially, all in that turn, and you think, well, have we ever wanted? Have we ever been really in need? My every need he richly will supply. Well, or any of them really, and daily makes the sovereign goodness known. And to be still and think about him and about our Lord Jesus Christ. That's one thought I had. The art of being quiet and the art of reading our scriptures, not rushing round. You know, do you know what I mean when I say we can read something on a spinal level? You've read the chapter, but you haven't got an idea what you've read. You can do it, can't you? It's possible. Well, I make myself go back, you know. And if I wander off again, I make myself go back. And it's better still to go at a slower pace. Because if you go quickly, you miss an awful lot. The things that you didn't realise were there. A kind of a stillness, which is a very lovely thing. Be still and know. You learn a great deal. You learn a great deal then. In that stillness, you find you get to know him better. Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. But he did know him. I know whom I have believed, he said in one place, but it's a different kind of thing. It's a knowing now. I want to know you intimately and warmly and to be in your company, that I might know him. And so that in our lives and as we go along our ways and in our anxieties and our worries, all these things, you might say, well, I'm not alone. He is with me. And you may be unpopular at times, but, you know, you're not alone. You may say, well, I have no friends. You can't say that. You're not alone. To know him in that way, and to know him as our Saviour, and to know him as our Lord. So what we are really doing, something we forget to do, you know, there are verses we know, but we think that's a wonderful verse, but we don't put it into practice. One of the old divines said, it's all very well quoting the promises of God, but you claim them and you exercise these things, you know, that they should be a living thing to you, because the one you know is talking to you and he wishes you to remember what he is saying to you. In this particular one here, you know, or any of the Psalms, it's just a simple psalm and lovely. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, look at the wealth there. Who is my shepherd? The Lord. Who is he? The Son of God. I shall not want. That I'll never be destitute. I'll never be like that. He will care for me in unexpected ways and in unusual ways. Be still and know. Know what? That I am God. When all is said and done, I am God. I think I'm safe in saying that every government in the world has forgotten that, and I am God. And we sometimes forget. If you listen to the news too much, you should get overwhelmed with global things, with wars cropping up here and there, and new ones threatened, and big things threatened on a big scale. And in the end, you know, after you finish listening to the news, you could feel quite unwell, you know, because it can weigh you down. And if you listen to the second, because they repeat themselves, don't they, over and over and over again until the end, you know, you feel that you put 10 years on in a very short time, you know. But you're forgetting something then. And daily makes his sovereign goodness known. He's sovereign. Look at the psalm. God is our refuge. He's my hiding place. God is our refuge and strength. So when it seems I can't go on, I can. He is my refuge when I'm afraid and want him to hold me close to him. He will do that. And he's my strength to face my problems and to face life and face death too. A very present help in trouble. That's a very wonderful thing. There are all kinds of trouble. Trouble that sometimes you can share, sometimes that you cannot share. And even if you have a good friend, you can share that with them, but they can't take it away from you. But he can, you see. He's a very present help. The word help there. He's going to help you in trouble. So he's going to lift you up, you know. And so that's God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And then the lovely line here, therefore, because of that, will not we fear. Why won't I fear? Because he is God. He's my God through Jesus Christ. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Well, how brave are you? Though the earth be removed. That's scary. Imagine an earthquake, you'd feel like that, wouldn't you? Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, even all that I won't fear, because he keeps me, and I'm safe in his hands. Now, what is the secret? Secret comes then in the next verse. There is a river. That's a lovely phrase. There is a river. Now, what about this river? There is a river. The streams, even the tiny streams that come into it, there's a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. Now, where does it reach? God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, that right early. Now, what is river? Well, I thought, maybe I'm stretching it a little, the river of life, you know, the river of everlasting life. When Jesus said, you know, if any man drink of this water, he will not thirst again, the woman of Samaria. And let that represent the gospel. A river and water refresh us, keep us alive, and keep us going. And it's the same, too, with the life that's in Christ through his sacrifice on Calvary. They're like living waters. They give you life. They keep you going as well. And these things make glad the city of God. And that will never be moved. And you're safe forever. That's how great God is. Now notice his greatness and his intimacy here. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. That's intimate. Therefore will not we fear. Then this is his power. Though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shall shake the swelling thereof, there is a river. So we drink deeply of that river, and we are comforted, and we are helped, and we are satisfied. How strong is he? Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Then he says, all that now, come now. Settle down. Be still. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now, it's a lovely psalm, isn't it? There are lots of wonderful verses there. But I think the first one is lovely. God is our refuge and strength, a very present, a very quick help in time of trouble, immediate. But this, you know, advice to us, how should I behave? Don't rush around. Don't be too busy to pray. Don't be too busy to read your word. Don't be too busy to neglect the means of grace. Don't be too busy for these things, because if you're too busy for that, you're too busy. Be still, and know that I am God. It's a lovely one for us to rest on, to claim for ourselves, asking to teach us to be still and to know more about him and understand him by living with him and walking with him. By being like that, and that we may know the power of his resurrection. That's just a few words in our psalm. But